This is Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. Google employees are demanding changes to how the company handles allegations of sexual misconduct. Workers walked out of their offices all over the world today, including in London, Singapore, New York, and in Cambridge.
Time is up! Time is up in tech! Time is up at Google!
WBUR reporter Simone Rios was on the scene in Kendall Square earlier today, and he joins us now. Hello, Simone.
Hey, Cal. Nice to see you.
So these Google walkouts happened all over the world. We saw images on social media of what seemed like very large gatherings. How big was the one in Kendall Square?
Yeah, so when I first got there, there were maybe a couple dozen people. I tweeted it out, and then before I knew it, there were several hundred. I felt like it was probably a large percent of the office, which has 1,400 people currently working there. The impetus for this protest, of course, was a Times article that revealed that Google had paid out $90 million to Andy Rubin, the founder of Android. Rubin left the company in 2014. The Times reported that the year before, an employee had accused him of coercing her to perform oral sex in a hotel room. Google investigated and found that her claim was credible. Google could have fired Rubin and paid him essentially nothing, but instead he landed a $90 million exit package. That was the impetus again. But protesters say that for every story in the Times, there are thousands more that remain untold. Rachel Gray manages a team at Google in Cambridge and has been there for 11 years.
The corporate culture is largely good, but we are clearly not free of problems. We've received some really good news in the last week about the lessening of some of those problems over the last couple of years. I was thrilled to get that from Sundar Pichai, but there are more changes that we want. We want an end to forced arbitration for sexual harassment, especially.
Sundar Pichai, I should point out, is Google's CEO. But this issue of forced arbitration, it's a pretty big deal. These arbitration agreements are relatively common in the industry. Basically, if an employee has signed an arbitration agreement over harassment or discrimination, and they later file a complaint, it has to be dealt with internally and cannot go to the courts.
Right. The arbitrator could be a retired judge, but it stays out of public view. It keeps people, you and me, from seeing what's going on.
That's right.
So what else do the Googlers want then, Simone?
So today they issued a statement saying that Google has championed the language of diversity and inclusion, but that substantive actions to address things like systemic racism, inequality, and sexual harassment have been few and far between. There were five specific demands, the first being the arbitration issue, but they want what they call pay and opportunity equity, for example, for women of color to be present at all levels of the organization. But I want to tell you there's something else that I found interesting. And a few of the people I spoke to pointed out the difference between the highly paid tech staff that you have at Google and people who do the work to maintain the offices, the cleaning people, the labor, et cetera. So essentially what they're saying is that temp employees, vendors, and contractors should have the same protections as full-timers.
And are those just global concerns company-wide, or did the folks you met in Kendall Square today talk about specific concerns they have about the culture in Cambridge?
Yeah, I mean, the sense that I got was that this was more the former, that this is an all-for-one, one-for-all kind of sentiment. I asked this question of several Google employees, and the answer I got was that the problems didn't seem to be any more or less present in Cambridge than anywhere else. We spoke with Amit Deutsch, a program manager at Google. They told us the culture issue transcends Google, Cambridge, and even Google itself.
I'm angry at the amount of power and abuse happening at the upper echelons, not just of this company, but companies all over the place. I think that has to change. And I'm inspired by the fact that people who have experienced this have decided to speak up. And I'm inspired by the fact that so many of my workers feel similarly and are finally willing to come together around this. And I wanted to be a part of it.
And we heard that Google's chief executive is supportive of these walkouts, or at least not in opposition to them publicly, Simone, right?
Yeah. I mean, I got to imagine it's somewhat awkward for them to see all their employees marching out like this. Google sent us a statement from the CEO, Sundar Pichai. He said employees have raised constructive ideas and, quote, "We are taking in all their feedback so we can turn these ideas into action."
So is this a one-off? I mean, did it feel like this was just sort of a nice rally today, or did it feel like the beginning of something a little bit more substantial?
I wish I had my crystal ball that I could say for sure. But I will say there was an air of idealism among the protesters. I mean, they understand that they work for one of the most powerful companies and influential companies in the world. And this is a pretty unusual event, I think, for you know, for Google Alphabet, 72,000 employees to just march out and start, you know, airing their grievances about what's happening internally. It's not every day we see an action like this from a Fortune 500 company. Sarah Brown is a product strategy lead at Google in Cambridge. She spoke to the crowd about how quickly this all came together.
I can't tell you how impressed I was to see how quickly Googlers from around the world rallied together after that article broke. Barely 6 days from article to a global walkout. We saw injustice. We took action together.
I do want to add, so it was a lot of the 1,400 employees there today, but I approached five or six people, and no one wanted to talk to me on the record. They were hesitant to attach their names to something that could turn up in a Google search for the rest of their lives, understandably, perhaps. There were three people who spoke at the rally, and when the rest of the crowd was given the chance to do so, you could hear crickets.
So one of those people who spoke at the rally had what sounded like a really powerful moment, Simone, and I'm hoping you can help set the scene for us. This is when organizer Vicky Tardif-Holland was speaking. Take us there.
Yeah, so Holland is a staff linguist at Google, an ontologist, actually, and one of the organizers of today's protest. She spoke about when she first read the Times piece last week. She had just returned from interviewing a young woman who was interested in working in the tech industry. This was how she reacted. Let's take a listen.
The most crushing part for me wasn't the sexual harassment. I know that exists. It was the fact that a young woman was harassed in her job interview. And Google knew. And he was still an employee. So here I am trying to get young women into this industry. And they are being harassed when they walk in the front door. Time is up on that.
So it will be interesting to watch as things progress with Google. Is this just a one-day, a one-off event, or is it going to become something bigger? I do think that that if it is going to lead to anything big, that Google employees need to be willing to actually speak up. And frankly, I didn't see a lot of that today, other than the fact that they walked out.
All right. That is WBUR Simone Rios. Simone, thanks for joining us again.
Hey, thanks a lot, Cal.
And I actually want to bring in Vicky Tardif-Holland, who we just heard from in that clip. She is a staff linguist at Google. And again, she led the walkout from Google's Cambridge office today. And she joins us on the line. Vicky, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So, Vicky, I understand you've worked for Google for the last 8 years, and I'm wondering what you've seen, what you've experienced. Have women been held back in their careers, sexually harassed at Google?
You know, it's hard. There are pockets of Google that are very good and very good for women, and there are pockets that are not, that are very bad for women. And sometimes it's the luck of the draw of where you end up in this organization. You know, we try to protect each other by talking to one another and warning people about problem people, problem groups. But, you know, it's definitely hard. I know of women who have been told they're too abrasive. They need to be nice. And then when they try to pull back on their tone, they're told, well, no, you got to step in, up and lead. So it's hard to move up in an organization if you don't really know how to behave in a meeting. You know, I've certainly heard cases of people of color being, you know, told that they don't look like an engineer and asked for their badge, you know, do they really work there? I've certainly had people assume that I'm not in a technical role. When I walk into a meeting as a woman, there's this assumption that I'm not there to present on a technical topic, which makes it much harder for me to advance in my career.
You talked about the advancement, Vicky, and I spoke earlier this week with Nilanjana Bhamik. She's a co-founder of the Cambridge venture capital firm Converge. We were talking about those barriers to advancement for mid-career women in tech in particular. This is what she said.
These are hardworking women that are perhaps best in their category, but ultimate success to reach the V-level and the C-level is also about building your social capital and your political capital. This is also the time where, you know, women are entering motherhood. So it's a tough phase in their life where this critical aspect takes a backseat, and that ends up hurting them.
Vicky, does that ring true for you, what you've experienced and observed firsthand?
I think it's true. I think, you know, as a woman, you don't want to go on an outing necessarily that it's all men. You know, I often am in groups at work where I'm the only woman. This is a social outing. I don't necessarily want to put myself in a position of being the only woman. And quite frankly, not just in this industry, but in pretty much every industry, it's hard to balance being a parent and having a full-time job. And it's, you have two full-time jobs at that point. And so it's really hard to say, you know, I can't go to that networking event because I need to go home and, you know, do bedtime. And so that certainly is a problem that women face, not just at Google or in tech, but throughout the workforce.
Do you feel, though, that showing up to those kinds of social events are tied to your promotions?
I think that not directly, right? I mean, directly, it's about how you perform, but, you know, there are those indirect things of, does your manager, your director trust you to take on a project? And some of that trust is social capital. It's how well they like you, how well they think you fit the role of someone, of that role. And it's harder if you don't look the type, if you haven't gone to the social events, for them to think of you when they're assigning those roles.
Vicky, I can't help but notice that you're speaking out against your own employer, which a lot of people could see as a professional risk. And so I'm wondering why you do this. What's convinced you that it's necessary?
So as I said at the rally, I've been in tech for over 20 years now. You know, I remember a time of being one of, you know, two or three women in my CS classes. And that's how you picked your lab partner. Like, you're a woman, I'm a woman, let's be partners. And it hasn't gotten materially better in the 20 years since I've been in this industry. And, you know, we keep being told it's a pipeline problem. We need to recruit more women. We need to recruit more people of color. But we see them walk in the door and get crushed by the system and walk right back out. So it's a leaky bucket. We need a way to make sure that the people who come in who are just as capable, just as driven, are actually given an opportunity to succeed. And in that way, it's going to benefit not just Google, but our industry and you know, the country.
It sounds like you're in a tough spot, though. You talked at the rally about feeling somewhat torn about what advice to give to younger female developers. You're trying to recruit them into the industry to solve that pipeline problem you just mentioned, and yet you also don't want to bring them into a toxic environment. How do you reconcile that?
You know, I think it's something that I struggle with. I've talked to other women who struggle with it. And some of it is, I don't blame anyone for saying, no, I'm not going to recruit because of this. And I don't blame people who say, I'm still going to do it, but I'll be very honest about the situation. I think everyone has to find what the right fit is for them. And to be honest, I've changed over time. I've gone from, okay, I'm going to be honest about what's happening and how to navigate these situations, to now, quite frankly, being pretty vocal about not wanting to do interviews of interns or people new in the career, because I don't want to give the false impression that they're going to walk in and every door will be open to them. And I am starting to feel tremendous amounts of guilt about that. And so I want to make sure that they understand what's happening. And more importantly, that Google and our industry step up to make changes so those people are welcomed.
Vicky, I'm hoping you can help us understand the scope of the issue here. I mean, today's event was a Google-specific phenomenon, but you've worked in tech at other companies as well over a couple of decades. So are we looking at a Google problem, or is this an industry-wide problem?
Oh, this is an industry-wide problem. I think people at Google recognize the power that you have when you're a Google employee and are therefore maybe more able to speak out than other people in our industry. I think we also realize that when big companies like Google do things, we can move the needle for the entire industry. So if we can get things like forced arbitration out of our contracts at Google, it gives people at other companies leverage to get them out of their contracts there.
Vicky, we were speaking earlier with WBUR Simone Rios about some of the demands. We heard the list earlier, and I'm wondering, you know, one of the things that stood out to me is that it explicitly includes all employees. So we're not just talking about the highly paid developers. We're also talking about janitors and temp workers. Why is it important to include them as well?
You know, I think we stand in alongside our coworkers. You know, when someone has a Google badge, I think of them as a coworker, regardless of the color. At Google, you get a different color badge depending on if you're full-time or temporary or an intern. And they work alongside me. I think of them as my fellow colleagues. And it's unfair that they are not given the same protections that I'm given as a full-time employee when we're working in the same building side by side. How can I be protected if the person next to me isn't? And I think a lot of people are getting that and see that full-time employees have a voice that those other people don't. And so we should use our voice to help them.
Well, Vicky, we appreciate your willingness to speak out, as we said, with some professional risk at hand. That is Google linguist Vicky Tardif-Holland. She organized today's walkout from Google's Cambridge office. Vicky, once again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stay with us, please. There's more ahead. I'm Callum Borchers, and this is Radio Boston.